Composting. If you're already composting, you know how easy it is, how much it can reduce the trash that goes to the landfill, and about the wonders compost can do for your garden. If you're not composting, here's the scoop. According to CompostGuide.com, a compost pile consists of browns and greens. The browns can be dried leaves, wood chips, or even a paper bag. The greens can be grass clippings or vegetable scraps from your kitchen. All we do in our house is keep a little bucket on our kitchen counter for salad scraps and coffee grounds, and occasionally we take it out and dump it in the composter. Once in a while, we stir the compost with a stick, and that's it. I hardly notice the composter except for fewer trips to the curb and a happier garden. Lots of communities offer discounted composters and complete instructions, so look into composting. It's good for you and good for the planet. And for decades, Myra Goodman has made it her mission to know where the food she serves her family comes from and to prepare meals using fresh and seasonal organic produce and sustainably produced dairy and meat. We'll explain what all that means in a minute. Over time, she's become increasingly aware that it also matters how she washes the plates after her meal, what she uses to clean the counter, and how she stores her leftovers. Boy, that really rings true for me. And this sent her on a mission to see how truly green her kitchen was and what changes she could make to cook more energy efficiently, be less wasteful, and environmentally friendly. And, you know, she created this wonderful book, The Earthbound Cook. And in it, Myra brings these two sides of the dinner dilemma together by showing us what to shop for and how to cook it. And Myra knows more about composting and organic gardening than most of us, because she's been doing it since 1984 and probably before then. She left New York for California, and I'm pleased to welcome Myra Goodman to Anything Goes. Good morning, Myra.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, thanks for waking up for us. We know we're a little bit ahead of you in the clock game here on Anything Goes.
So. Oh, no, this is wonderful. This is late for me. It's perfect. Thank you.
Oh, excellent. Well, tell us, you know, we hear an awful lot about organic. And tell us what organic is, because you really understand organic farming. In fact, that's what you do.
That's what I do. Since, yes, like you said, it's been more than 26 years. Well, organic farming, in simplest terms, we're farming in harmony with nature without relying on synthetic chemicals. And beyond the farming, it's also when you buy organic food, there's a lot of things prohibited in organic food that you can feel comfortable you're not getting in your food. You're not going to be getting any hydrogenated oils. You're not going to be getting any genetically modified organisms, no artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives. And when you purchase organic meat or dairy, you know that it was produced more humanely and it was raised without any antibiotics or growth hormones. So all of these chemicals we're keeping out of the environment, out of our food, and out of our bodies.
Well, Myra, here's a couple of questions for you. So first of all, you're telling me if I go and buy a cookie that's organic, you're guaranteeing me that there's going to be no trans fat in there?
Yes, right now in this country, the organic standards were passed. The USDA organic standards were passed in 2002, mm-hmm. and they're very specific guidelines. And to put organic on a package, you need to comply, and that would mean that it would never have any trans fats.
That's very interesting. I didn't know. That's very interesting. So that's good to know. So that's an easy thing to do.
It's an easy thing. And sometimes when you get a non-organic cookie, say, it can be very deceptive because it can say zero trans fats on the package. And often that is because it can be zero trans fats per serving if it has less than 1 gram or whatever the units are per serving. But often the serving sizes are small, and you can have 2 or 3 cookies and end up with actually a decent amount of trans fats.
Yeah, well, you know, going off on a tangent, a lot of the cookies and prepackaged baked goods that don't have trans fat, they're now using palm oil, which of course has less of an impact on the human organism, but there's an awful lot of habitat that's being burned down in order to create these palm farms.
I've heard about that. And then I've also heard that now there are sustainable palm farms too, and so it's an issue. It's very interesting because writing my book, The Earthbound Cook,
uh-huh.
I learned so much that I didn't know. I thought I knew a lot going in, which inspired me to write the book, and I would say probably half the information in the book I learned while I was writing it. But these issues are so complex, and it's so hard to say a statement that's correct across the board, and it changes really rapidly, too.
I got to tell you, I mean, I've thumbed through this book way more than once. Now, in addition to the fantastic recipes in Earthbound Cook, 250 recipes for delicious food and a healthy planet. What's in here, the information is mind-blowing. Just about, I was just telling everybody, I was flipping through yet again, and I found a guide to all the greens that you find in spring mix. Now, I eat that stuff all the time, like tons of it, but I look at it and I go, I don't know what this leaf is.
It's nice to know what the leaf is.
It is nice to know what the leaf is, just so you know which ones you really like.
My book really, I'm trying to inspire people to cook more at home. I grew up on TV dinners and takeout food, not cooking, and it's something that I came to when I moved onto this little farm in 1984, and I started learning how to farm. I started learning how to cook with the food I was farming, because when you're growing things, you don't want to let any of it go to waste. And I think that cooking is such a joy that a lot of Americans really aren't experiencing as much as they can. And then when you are cooking at home and you're cooking from scratch, you have so much control of the ingredients you're purchasing. And what we purchase really influences how food is produced in this country, which has a huge impact on our environment. So it's such a powerful act to cook healthy, sustainable food in your home.
That's really interesting, Myra, because to say that it's a powerful act, because it is all about empowerment, and it's about choosing with your dollars the way in which the world and the planet is going to go. And I have to say, because of humanitarian issues, I will only eat organic chickens now. And it's hard sometimes to pay $1.99 a pound instead of 69 cents. But I feel so much better eating it. It tastes better. And I know that it's having an impact not only on me, but it reverberates far beyond my individual life and world, and that is what the Earthbound Cook is all about.
I'm sorry, I cut you off. It's what the Earthbound Cook is all about. You're saying?
Yes, ma'am. No, and I. It seems to me that that's what you have in here, and I like the fact that you've presented both sides of the question about sustainability and how do you know what kind of whether to farm fish or not farm fish, and it really clarifies
difficult.
A lot of things.
There are some farm fish that are actually really good for the environment, and I think what I think a lot of these issues are very complex, and there's so many different issues, and I think people don't know, well, what's the difference between an organic chicken or a free-range chicken or an all-natural chicken? And so what I want my book to do is, there's information that's really easy to digest. Nothing's hitting you over the head. Nothing's supposed to make you feel guilty, but it's just supposed to explain the issues woven through the recipes, so that while you're thinking of what you're going to cook, you can learn a little bit about what you want to look for when you shop. And I think what you said about choosing the organic chicken is exactly what I'm talking about, because I know I do feel so much better when I'm eating food that I know was raised humanely, that is healthy for the planet as well as for myself. And like you were saying, it reverberates through the whole world. All of that feed that was raised to feed that organic chicken was raised without chemicals, and it kept that out of the environment and kept it out of the water, and it kept the streams healthier for the fish, you know, and the water healthier for people who have their wells in the area. And it's just it's amazing, the domino effect both of your negative decisions and your positive decisions.
Right, and I think that when we're at the grocery store, I think people are just beginning to have a sense of that industrialized farming creates an enormous amount of waste, and it's not just about, it is about the way the animals are treated, but it is also about the way they dispose of the waste products and what they're feeding those animals and all of the, it always amazes me. And by the way, you're tuned into Anything Goes on Member Supported, WFDU-FM. I'm Lise Avery, speaking with environmentalist and organic farmer Myra Goodman about her book, Earthbound Cook. And it amazes me, Myra, when I see a bird, and now here in New Jersey, some of our rivers are not in the best of shape, and I travel a lot to rural Ontario. The listeners know this, I have a cottage there, and I'll see a Canadian goose here, and I'll know that they may be traveling back and forth, and it's not that the dirty water stays here in New Jersey because the birds ingest it and they go contaminate these more pristine areas. Yeah. And so it's a remarkable to me how they'll find pesticides in remote rainforests, where because they're carried by the animals and by the wind and by the insects, because these things migrate back and forth, and it's integrated.
Exactly. And that's, I think, the title of my book, and it's also the title, you know, it's also the name of our company, Earthbound Farm. And I didn't name the book after the farm. I named them both from that same spirit, that we are earthbound, that we have this one planet, and it's all completely interconnected, like you're just talking about, and that we have such this miraculous bounty that we can enjoy, but we have to take care of it. We have to start thinking long-term as people in this world, because we're kind of ending up where we're headed, where so many of our consumption habits have taken us to a place where the world and our natural resources are really endangered. And what's really empowering for people is that when you change your habits in little ways, and ways that are actually really enjoyable, you can make such a positive impact. And I want people to know it's not all or nothing. It's not like, oh, I've got to eat everything organic and in the season, and it's all going to be so expensive and so hard to find. You know, any change that you make, that one change that you make, if one ingredient in a recipe is organic, or, you know, if you saved energy in one way in your kitchen, or bought some recycled paper towels, post-consumer recycled paper towels once, instead of the nice, fresh, fluffy stuff from the fresh cut-down trees. You know, one thing is a wonder. It makes a great impact, and you do more and more as you can.
Absolutely. It's about choices. It isn't about all or nothing. I agree with you 100%. I think it's almost impossible to live without having some impact on the environment, and I certainly have friends who attempt this, who compost absolutely everything and won't buy anything in any kind of packaging, and even burn their chicken bones.
Right, and bless those people.
Absolutely.
But we need to come up with solutions that work for the average American. And I think that it's not about feeling bad for all we don't do. It's about celebrating and feeling wonderful for everything we do, and that will inspire us to do more when we can.
Well put. And we're speaking with Myra Goodman about her book, The Earthbound Cook, and we're going to be giving you guys a chance to win a copy of this really wonderful book, which is full of great recipes and very clear information, not just about the organic versus non-organic issue, but also about, like, what is that stuff in the grocery store? She's got great pictures of all the potatoes and things. So Myra, while we're talking about our impact on the environment, what does eating less meat have to do with my carbon footprint? If I don't eat a steak, how does that clean the air?
You know, it's sad for me to say, because I love meat, but meat, especially red meat, uses a tremendous amount of resources. It takes a lot of feed and a lot of water to raise cattle, and also to have actually cattle produce milk, so it's the same situation for dairy products as well. And then also cows excrete a lot of methane, mostly through burping, but things come out the other end. And methane is actually 21 times more powerful a greenhouse gas than CO2. So it uses so many resources. The Natural Resource Defense Council estimates that if every American just ate 4 ounces less of meat per week, it would be the same as taking 5 million cars off the road.
Wow.
I know, and that's just 4 ounces less.
We can all do that.
We can do that. And one thing that I learned is that pork has a much lighter carbon footprint than beef. And chicken is, I think pork is a fourth of the carbon footprint of beef, and chicken is a third of pork. So when we make a decision, when we're deciding what we're going to have for dinner at the store, at the restaurant, we can't decide between beef or chicken, and we're thinking, should we splurge? The beef costs a little more. When we put into the mix that chicken is much lighter on the environment, and we make that choice, we've just done a great deed.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yet again, it comes back to the same theme, that each action reverberates.
Exactly. And my analogy in my cookbook is, I love eating meat, but I know it's a splurge. To me, eating meat is like taking a hot bath. When I run a hot bath, I'm like, ooh, I'm using a lot of water. I'm using a lot of energy to heat the bath. I could take a quick shower, but I really need that bath tonight. And when I eat meat, I just appreciate this is a splurge. This is it's the ecological equivalent to eating caviar, and I'm going to enjoy every bite, and I'm going to prepare it perfectly and appreciate it, and I won't have it again for a little while.
That's a very interesting way to put it, Myra. Speaking of which, you were here in New York. How did you become an organic farmer, and what were you doing when you were here in New York?
Well, I was born in Brooklyn.
Ah, home girl.
And then I moved to Manhattan for high school. And really, for me, I was raised completely disconnected to the earth, completely. I didn't eat hardly any fresh produce. I was raised on processed food. I'd have a slice of raised pizza for dinner and Dunkin' Donuts or bagels for breakfast. I mean, I ate terribly.
Wow.
But there was this part of me. I lived on the 11th floor of a building in Manhattan, and I just looked at the cement building across the way, and I just craved greenery. I just had to get out of the city. So I actually went to college a year early at 16, and I went to University of Vermont to get to the country. And as soon as I was in the fresh air and the rolling mountains, I felt happy.
Oh, isn't that something? I understand that completely.
And then I transferred to Berkeley. I'm halfway through college, and I was going to go to school for international relations, graduate school, and I needed to get ready for my GREs and get better at my Spanish, and so I had the opportunity with my boyfriend at the time to move on to this little 2-acre raspberry farm and do improvements in exchange for rent. And so and he was from New York too. So the two of us city kids ended up on this little farm and taught ourselves how to farm organically and fell in love with the land and in love with nature and never went to graduate school, just became farmers. And I don't know if you know, but Earthbound Farm, which we started 26 years ago, is now the largest grower of organic produce in the country. And we have 150 different farmers that farm anywhere from 5 acres to 680 acres. And all of us together farming 35,000 acres avoid the use of more than 11 million pounds of synthetic chemicals every year.
Oh, wow.
So it's really, I mean, this little kind of lark is, you know, that was never going to be our real career has turned into something that we never, never expected.
How did that happen, Myra? How did you go from from working a raspberry farm that wasn't even yours to this humongous organic farming?
Well, you know, the thing about our company is we have this teeny farm, and we couldn't make a living just growing the raspberries, so we started growing little baby lettuces in the early 80s, right when they were getting popular, and we actually became the first company to successfully market packaged salads for retail sales with the little whole leaf spring mix salads. And so we started growing really, really quickly before anybody was interested in organic, just because this was a gourmet, convenient product. And we started it because we were working so hard growing these lettuces, taking care of this farm, that we never ate salads. And we found that when we washed big batches and dried them and put them in Ziploc bags and had them ready to eat, we would eat salads every night. And we always thought it would be such a great product, especially being from New York. We thought, oh my goodness, if people in New York could open a bag of these beautiful greens that they've probably never seen before. This is when people were just eating iceberg.
Absolutely, in the 80s.
So that's the story of our company, was that we started the spring mix salad revolution. And then after that, then there was all the technology invented to do the chopped iceberg and the chopped romaine, and that became a very, very big part of the packaged salads. But we started with just the baby greens.
That's amazing. You were breaking ground and you didn't even know it.
Now, we didn't know it, yeah. It's amazing.
When I buy organic greens, though, it's different than the big conglomerates, right? The big conglomerates are washing my greens in bleach and things like that. Am I correct about that? It's different,
well,
processed differently?
It's not bleach. There's chlorine in the water, just like there's chlorine in all of the public water systems. And it's hard. We've been looking for, and the chlorine that we use in our water is just at the level that's allowable for municipal water. It's not more than that. And then we actually do a fresh rinse after. But there's all these food safety considerations, and there's been so many experiments, and we're really working on an alternative to chlorine, because the chlorine is not good for the environment. But at the same time, you do need to make sure, I mean, that's why they chlorinate the water, is that there are so many germs that can grow in water that has not been disinfected at all.
Sure.
So it's a hard thing. But definitely within the organic standards, we're allowed to use chlorine at the municipal water levels, and then we do a rinse that has no chlorine after.
Gotcha. And of course, it's important to protect the public safety in terms of the greens, and everybody should wash them, even though they come in a bag.
Well, I don't wash our greens because I've seen how they're washed, and they're washed so thoroughly. But if people feel like washing them, then they should. But you should definitely wash everything, all produce that doesn't come pre-washed.
Right. Absolutely. And you're tuned in to Anything Goes on member-supported WFDU-FM. I'm speaking with Myra Goodman. The Earthbound Cook is her brand new, lovely, wonderful cookbook. And is this available, widely available, like on websites like Amazon?
Yes, Myra? It'll be available everywhere. If all the large chains are carrying it, all the online booksellers, if your local bookstore doesn't have it, you should ask. I've been happy with the distribution. I see it in a lot of places wherever I go.
Oh, fantastic. That must be neat to walk into a bookstore and see your book.
Well, what's weird is this book. This is my second book. My first book is Food to Live By, which just had a sweet little picture of an apple on the cover. This one, my publisher put me on the cover, so whenever I see it, I'm seeing myself.
I understand.
It's funny. Well, thank you for all your compliments about my book, and I hope you get a chance to try a bunch of the recipes.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I intend to, actually, because it certainly is the way that I eat. I've got one more question for you, because this is a term that I think people are not familiar with that is covered in The Earthbound Cook. Tell us, what are food miles, Myra?
Oh, I have an essay on food miles. I think that, a lot of the local movement, the local food movement, people talk about reducing their food miles. How many miles food is transported from the farm to the plate when you get it? So if you're in New York and you're buying my salad grown in California, there might be 3,000 food miles, but between you and me. But I think what I talk about in my cookbook is that that's a concept that's become very oversimplified, because people are thinking, okay, well, if I get salad from a greenhouse 30 miles away from New York City, this is hypothetical, it's got to have a much lower carbon footprint because there were less food miles getting it 30 miles to my grocery store than getting it almost 3,000 miles to my grocery store. But what's hard is that when you actually look at the efficiency, it's kind of like looking at the difference between someone who is driving a car by themselves 100 miles or someone who's taking a bus or a train 100 miles that's filled with other people. The amount of resources used per person is much lower in public transportation. And so when we've actually calculated how much fuel per unit is used for products shipped across country, it's very expensive to ship across country, and those trucks are full. Often it has less fuel involved than a smaller operation taking their product a shorter distance. And then if you figure in all that maybe the local product wasn't organic and there were chemicals used to grow that stuff, and they were applied near schools and people were driving through the roads, it's actually a more ecological, healthier decision to buy something grown far away. So that it's a very complex issue that's been oversimplified is what I talk about a lot in my book.
Gotcha. So I think your example is in your book is with apples, and that if we're shipping 100 apples and the apples take it takes 10 gallons of fuel to ship the 100 apples. Of course, that's a very low number, but versus shipping 10,000 apples using 200 gallons of fuel, then you can do those numbers and figure out how many food miles each apple you're buying has.
Yeah, how much kind of fossil fuel per apple. And so I think it's, for me, organic is my number one commitment. And I would rather get something that was shipped from further away that was organic than something that was grown closer that was grown conventionally. If I'm concerned about my local community, I don't want those chemicals sprayed locally where my kids are going to school and where where I'm driving by. And I'd like them not sprayed anywhere. But I think one thing that is important is we want to eat healthy and delicious food. And one of the wonderful things about local is that you can buy varieties that don't stand up to cross-country shipping. You can buy vine-ripened tomatoes, not ones that are pick green, so that they have a long shelf life. You can buy a peach that ripened on the tree that's going to taste so much better than a peach that was shipped green that could get shipped across the country. So what you can get locally and seasonally are varieties that you won't find in a supermarket, and produce that has been completely ripened. And so there's so many, and it's wonderful to support the farmers in your community and to meet the people that grow your food. So I'm a very big advocate of eating in season and eating local food. I put organic first, and I think that there's a lot of people that say it's much better to get something grown closer that's conventional than ship organic across the country. And what our research has shown is that when you look at the resources for local versus distance, that's usually not necessarily in the favor of local, and so you really want to bring in a lot of other considerations.
Okay. Well, so
was that too complicated, or was that clear?
No, it was actually quite clear, Myra. Okay. And really, it all comes back down to personal decisions, personal empowerment, and deciding becoming knowledgeable enough to make educated decisions at the grocery store, at the farmer's market, and deciding, as you so eloquently suggested, what splurges are, whether having a steak is a splurge or a hot bath or an ice cream sundae, and figuring out not just the cost to your physical body, but the cost to the planet as well.
Exactly.
I got it. I definitely got it. Well, Myra, I have to say thank you so much for your time. This is a wonderful cookbook, you guys. And as I said, you're going to get a chance to win one any minute now here on Anything Goes. But it's available widely, according to Myra Goodman. And it has in it not just fantastic recipes that look very delectable, but lots of information that will help you to clarify these issues for yourselves and to understand what your priorities are. Are in terms of which choices you want to make, what you are considering a splurge, and the ways in which you want to proceed in your life, and ways in which you can make a difference. Well, thank you, Myra. Thank you for a terrific book, a terrific product, and we wish you continued success with everything that you do.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me on your show, and it sounds like you talk about such wonderful, important issues, so I'm just very excited to know about you.
Well, thank you so very much. I'm very pleased to meet you, and on behalf of every part of my body, I want to thank you for all of the things that you create that are in my fridge all the time.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate it so much, and thanks again for having me on your show.
Anytime. Well, be well, and we will hope to hear from you again here
on
Anything Goes.
I would love that. Tell me whenever you want to chat.
Okay.
Have a wonderful week.
We'll be in e-touch, girl.
Good.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, you guys, and right now, we're going to be hearing from Rini Rosnes and why you should be heading to Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola this week. Thank you. And if you'd like to win a copy of Myra Goodman's wonderful Earthbound Cook, recipes for delicious food and a healthy planet, I'll take a caller at random right now at 201-692-2012. That's 201-692-2012. Good luck. You guys, once again, you have blown my mind. Every single one of my lines is lit for the Earthbound Cook, and I can't make everybody happy. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to push a button, close my eyes, push a button, and thank you very much.